What are we gonna do now that he's back?
Yeah, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is your boy DJ Locura back at it again for another exciting episode of Spark Up PVD. Alongside Presidente Cristina, the queen of the dance hall, Regina, and the man still with the bands, Rubens. What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? How's everybody doing today?
It's Friday, baby.
Ruben, you didn't say you already know what it is. It's your man, Rubens. You've been slacking.
Whose man is this with the phone?
That's Super Mario.
I can't. So today we have a special co-host with us.
Yes,
co-host, right, I should say. Some of y'all know him as Bennett Knows.
Yes.
Some of y'all know him as a guy from URI Radio.
Okay, I'm ready. All right. Ready.
Putting URI Radio on the map with for the sure. crazy promo.
For sure.
I didn't go to URI so and I know. Much.
No, yeah. That is for sure.
So, give it just, up for Bennett Knows.
Yeah, or we just simply know him as Bennett.
Bennett Knows.
Or Bennett, government name.
You Has know? Anyone ever told you you look like Chico DeBarge or like one of the DeBarge brothers?
I've gotten that before, right? Yeah. I get a lot of things, you know? I get like DeBarge, I get Will Smith.
Really?
I get, yeah.
Well,
I get
see that.
Now that I have hair, I get like Prince.
I
and,
can see that too.
Miguel.
I can see Miguel.
Everybody has something to say. I
we
just
can see
think
it all.
I look like myself.
Okay.
That's it. But, yo, thank you guys for having me here today. I'm super excited.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you. Yes. So you've been doing the radio thing for a while. Tell us about the radio life at URI.
Oh, man. So it's been 5 years this week. Or 5 years next week, April. Yeah, we're about to go there. But it's been amazing, man. Like, I started, that's like 5 years from now, 2012.
12?
Sheesh. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, but, you know, like I was telling you guys earlier, I was working at Disney World. I thought I wanted to be a high school teacher, but then
a high school English teacher
because I love reading. And, you know, I think English is very open to interpretation. So it's very exciting. But, you know, I went to Disney World and realized that I was born to be a star. You feel me?
Okay.
So hey, all right.
Was it at Disney World? Did you realize that?
Disney was like, you know
Tell
what?
Tell us the story, please.
You know, there is no story. I just, like, went to Disney and hated it. You know, really? We were talking about it earlier and, you know, Disney is a very interesting place and it's very...
Just say it. Go ahead. Let it out.
I would say Disney is a very interesting place. It's very nice on one end, but if you get the chance to check out the back end where all the work goes down, it's a very controlling place. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the background that really, you know, helped me look at my life and put it into perspective. And at that point, I was like, you know, I do enjoy being an English teacher, but I need to make a decision for myself. And it didn't happen overnight, but I knew that entertainment was something that I wanted to go into. So I guess Disney helped me, you know, just make that connection where it was like, you know what, you can actually do what you want to do. And that's when I started Bennett Knows, which started as a blog. And it was just a way for me to put out music and, you know, talk about, you know, pop culture and the things that really interested me. And the crazy thing is, someone came up to me and was like, yo, I seen your blog. Let me hook you up with a radio, like, you know, a spot on our radio station. And I'm like, radio isn't for me. So I took a step back and swerved it at first. But then I, like, started looking at my, you know, people I look up to, you know, the Oprahs, the Terrence Jenkins, Wendy Williams, you know, E! News, people that work in that realm. And they started in radio. So I was like, you know what? I shouldn't, you know, take advantage of it, you know, this opportunity that I got. And I was like, what is my radio show going to be about? And, you know, I can't interview the Beyoncés and the Rihannas and, you know, the Jay-Z's of the world, but I can interview, you know, the amazing people that are around me that are doing great stuff. So that's how that started. And it just snowballed into a platform for, you know, Rhode Island and New England culture and music, and super dope, you know?
Yes, amazing. That's Tell cool. us, how do you come up with, like, your promo? Because I remember you did the All That.
That was
And
my
then you did
one.
The Run This Town. Mm-hmm. And then the last one was Make You Scream, right?
Make You Scream, which we're really not finished with. We have great ideas that we didn't execute for that one, but it started with All of the Lights and then All That, and then Run This Town, then Make You Scream. You know, I really love, it goes back to, you remember when you were a kid and you would like go to, for me, I would go to Walmart and like buy like the albums, and even go all the way back, you would get that cassette and you would open it up and you would go through it.
The pictures.
And you would see the pictures of the artists and like just the vibe that they were giving off with that, you know, that chapter in their artistry. That's how I look at my artistry, and that's how I wanted to, you know, tie in my promotion for the radio station. So I'm a very creative person, and I love videos, and I love, you know, graphic arts and stuff. So I really just thought about how could I tie all of these things in to promote my radio show. And that's where we decided that, like, each season or each semester we would come up with a new theme and kind of just, like, build that whole season, or I like to look at it as like a chapter in my artistry, and how could we like tie in our interest and what we're trying to go for, and you know, really present some dope stuff that will make people want to get involved. So if you watch the first one, it's more like a promo video. It's like, hey, we're Bennett Knows Radio, and we shot it with Green Films back in 2014. And it was like, this is Bennett Knows Radio, and this is what we do. And it was really cool. But then afterwards, we kind of like evolving into like the fun, and you know, just like, this is us. We like to have a good time. And this time, we're coming with some throwback. The next time, we're going to come with some edgy stuff, you know. The next time, we're going to, you know, try to build off of politics, because, you know, the political nature was crazy when we started Make You Scream. So it's just, we like to be creative, you know. You got to make sure that you...
You keep bringing the fire, right?
You got to bring the fire. And like, you know what? You got to work your creativity, you know? It's very important to, you know, whether it's instruments or graphics or, you know, podcasts. You just got to make sure you always, you know, spark your interest and...
Spark.
Spark.
Oh, my gosh. Spark. Don't say the magic word. We'll
what
just keep
it?
Saying.
Spark up. Is that spark the magic up. Word?
Yes.
Spark up. What's word. Good? Sparking up? No, it's just sparking up. But yeah, we just try to keep it creative, and we had a great time with the promos, and that's how that came together. So you guys should definitely check out the promos. They're so dope.
Yes, right. They are. I co-sign. Yes. So you had the Bennett Knowles Award show party the other night on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. And it was going it up was, on a Tuesday. Yeah. Yep.
I was very surprised by the turnout. So congratulations.
Thank
that.
You. Thank
See,
you.
I know it's
that.
Your Jalen who worked with you told me that it was the first time you had it at a big venue.
Yeah. That was our third Bennett Knowles Radio Awards. The first two we had over at WRIU. The radio station up at URI, and it's always dope to just get all of the artists that you worked with over the year and get them into one room and to just celebrate their music and, you know, how they're adding to the culture. And I just moved to Seattle, and it was about that time that we would do it, you know, do it on the radio. But I talked to Jalen and Farron, I work with them very closely on Bennett Knows, and I said, like, yo, we cannot, like... not do this this year, you know? So we really like brainstormed on different ways we could keep the tradition going. And, you know, I reached out to BO8s and Trade Pop-Up and told them what I wanted to do. And, you know, things just fell in line, and we ended up with an event at a venue, and it was our first event. And after like 5 years, everyone's always asking, like, why don't you guys do events? Why don't you guys do events? And we were like, we're not ready. So I'm kind of glad that, you know, trying to develop and keep the Bennett Knowles Radio Awards going, that we were able to get the venue and work with BO8s and get all of these amazing artists in one room to, you know, just celebrate overall, just celebrate the music and how dope Providence is, because, you know, everything that's going on here is super dope.
Yes.
But yeah, that's how it happened. And we just ended up with a pre-party on a Tuesday at Aurora, and the, you know, the response was great. You know, I put it together from Seattle. I didn't do a lot of promo because I wanted to keep it low key. So, you know, just between those two factors and a few other ones, it was raining, and you know, it was a Tuesday. I wasn't here until like 5 hours before.
Yes,
I know. The response was great. There was a lot of people there, and by the end of the night, like everybody was vibing. It was a really good time. So I'm super excited. I'm glad you guys showed up and supported. And
shout out to Sparkle PVD.
She's nominated. She is nominated right now.
Well, I co-signed. Like, you got to represent for yourself. If you're not going to represent yourself, no one else is. You feel me?
That's why we were front row. We were right there, front row to the stage, enjoying ourselves. Everybody seemed to be.
What was your favorite performance from the night? Because I'm getting a lot of feedback. I try to really plan quality performance.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Like, Rain, I that on joint,
She's so dope.
And
so dope.
Caesar's Almighty C's pull
his jacket.
That's my track.
Woo, his jacket was super fly, right?
It was dedicated to WrestleMania. Woo. So there you go.
Oh, there we go. I missed that one. I couldn't make it. But Bret Hart, get out of here.
It was like pink, like fluorescent pink. It was dope.
Yeah, it was dope. But it looked like something I would wear. You know, let me get your jacket.
That's what I kept saying in my head, like, give me that jacket.
Right? I'm pretty sure everyone
the same size.
That. But yeah, Almighty Family killed it. Rain, she killed it, you know.
Oh my God.
I'm glad she showed up.
It was the first time I met Bianca Sings. I never heard of her until
Bianca
that night.
Bianca Sings. So. She's really dope. She could sing butt off. She's been writing a lot of great music for a lot of artists that we know. She was just featured in Rolling Stone alongside Lupe Fiasco. Oh, yeah. You know? Wow. So, you know,
and she's Waka Flocka.
Waka Flocka. She has a track with Waka Flocka. She was working with Earth, Wind, and Fire. So she's very, like, a low-key, you know, talent here in Rhode Island that, you
those
know.
Those are the ones making money. The ones behind the scenes on the low, writing for the big stars.
The ones in front of your face yelling and hollering and jumping around are the ones that ain't making no money.
I know. It's all about the ones who are sitting back. You know, real G's move in silence.
Hey.
Like, okay.
You know.
Bennett knows. Oh, Bennett knows.
He knows. Write it down.
And then we have Manny X. Manny X is
Manny
super
X.
dope.
Yes, that Cat and Mouse.
Yeah, he kicked it off with Cat and Mouse with some music video, super dope. So you guys should definitely check it out. Best music video I've seen out of Rhode Island in a long time. And then, yeah, for sure. So check that out. But a lot of dope artists, and like I said, I hope next year that we come through with like twice as hard with you know, 8 to 10 performances.
When
and,
people hear
you know,
about this event, there it's only gonna have a build up for the next one.
Yeah,
like,
I'm hoping.
People probably felt like they missed it. I mean, we were all on Instagram,
Snapchat,
on the show,
Snapchat,
on live.
I missed
like,
it, and then somebody from Sparkle was recording.
It was me. I
was like,
live.
I'm like, oh wow, look at this. I don't know who was performing, but I definitely.
I think it was Manny X.
Mm-hmm. No, it was
Bianca
Sings. Yeah, it was her. I was like, oh
and
man.
You know these? They brought their bands, and you know I'm all about
so dope.
The whole performance. So, you know, we were talking about what color lights are they going to have? What kind of props? Are you going to bring your band? Is your DJ going to come through? Like, I really wanted to plan, like, a really dope performance that you wouldn't, you know, get anywhere else. So I think that all the artists really did come in and, you know, really tried their best to, you know, make these performances, you know, unique and one of a kind and bring their music to life. So
Shout out to Manny X, who had the real auto-tune machine. He had the keyboard there with the mouthpiece. He was going in.
His band was going hard. Yes. Shout out to, I think they're 187s.
The
187s or 187s.
Yes, it was nice.
Shout outs to BO8. Because BO8 on the low is doing a lot of things with these artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, they deserve the credit.
I mean, they were on the show. Like I said, I couldn't do the show without BO8 sort of trade pop-up. You know, they really helped out with, you know, the organization. And they've been working, like, we've been talking about this for, like, almost 3 months. So, shout outs to both, you know, both teams for helping Ben and Nose
it's
put
nice
this together.
It's nice to see that sense of community, especially coming out of Rhode Island, like, you being, I mean, I'm sure you would have done the award show either way, but it's nice to see that you reached mm-hmm. out to people who you know would lend that helping hand to make the event so much better. And yeah. then the turnout was great.
Yeah, yes. definitely. That's why I put, I asked Maddie and Cooge and Jabron to, you know, hop on board with it because, you know, this isn't a Bennett Knows thing. And, you know, this was like a, you know, we're here to celebrate Providence, Rhode Island, New England music. So it's like a little bit of everyone. So I wanted to get everybody involved because honestly, you can't do anything without, you know, the power of collaboration is amazing. Oh, you yeah. know, I wouldn't be anywhere. I wouldn't be where I am today if, you know, I didn't work with all of these artists and like vice versa. Like if they weren't willing to come on to my show, you know, over and over again for the last 4 or 5 years, and like Bennett Knows would be nothing without the artists and, you know, my team, and, you know, just the power of collaboration speaks volume. So I think that's really important. That's a part of the show that I wanted to get across, you know, that, you know, we have such a dope community here in Providence. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on, mm-hmm. you know, the music, and, you know, we were talking about it earlier, the culture is very vibrant, and, you know, everyone's so small and like close knitted. So it's important to, you know, look at the people to the left and the right of you and see what they're doing, and to, you know, just help them and reach out and support them in any way, mm-hmm. you know?
I agree. Amen. That's what it's all about.
You know, preaching.
I wish we could see more collaboration. I mean, we do see a lot of it. I'm not trying to downplay how much collaboration is actually going on.
I think
we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting. Well, I think
we're definitely taking steps.
Yeah, I think at one point we're gonna be one of those cities. They'll be like, yo, we need to go to Prof.
Right.
Yes. We need to go to PVD.
We need to go to Providence.
No, serious. Like, I've done some traveling, and there's no place like Providence. You feel me? No place like Providence. And you really got to leave. You have to leave Providence for a little while and come back, and you'll be like, you know, I live in Seattle now, and I love Seattle, but the culture that they have over there does not touch what we got going on here in PVD. So I think that, you know, ultimately soon, you know, someone's going to blow over here in Providence. And, you know, along with that, hopefully that power of collaboration and, you know, supporting one another will just, you know, push everybody forward.
Yes.
And it'll be a Sparkle down. PVD that will blow up.
Oh, yeah.
We're kicking the doors down together. You know, we're holding hands. We're
Let's do it. We're out of here.
Yes. We're just going to pick one person up and shove them through the door, and they're all going to run in after.
Yep.
But the most important thing is to support your artists, support your people that are pushing the culture forward. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Amen. Yeah. So, Rob, what you got for us? You got anything for us today?
Anything for you guys today. Main thing this week that I saw in sports this week, it would have to be coming out of the NBA. So I believe last week there was a huge game between the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs. And even before that, but the past 2 weeks in the NBA, what's been going on, that a lot of the NBA players are starting to rest in these marquee matchup games that they put on primetime TV, and the NBA and the fans are getting disappointed. And so the commissioner sent out a memo to all the teams saying, if you were to rest your players during these marquee games, that you would get either like a big fine or lose some drive. Yeah, they're going to put down a sanction on the teams.
So basically what they're doing is sitting out the stars.
Exactly.
During primetime games.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of NBA players had their opinion on that. Like, they asked Houston Rockets guard Patrick Beverley. He said it would be a disgrace to the NBA and to the fans if you were to rest your star players. Kevin Durant just came out the other day saying that rule only applies for star players. I mean, name other players that you want to see in the NBA in marquee games. Kevin Durant,
LeBron James,
Stephen Curry, James Harden. These rules just apply to them. But if somebody from Joe Schmo sat down, who would care? You know?
That's true. Aww.
So that's been the controversy. So my suggestion for that, for the NBA, if you want to get the games out but not overkill the players, either stretch the season out or lessen the games. Mm. Like, the season starts the end of October, start the games earlier, maybe like in September possibly, or lessen the games from 82 to maybe 62 games.
Let
him play all season and then wear him out. And get the LeBron.
And then when they get to the championship, you throw in the LeBrons and them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and LeBron. And win the games. Let me tell you, LeBron James, In the last week.
Bring me on as a coach.
You want to be? Hey, you know who want to be a coach for the New Orleans Pelicans? Master P.
Hey, he was nice.
You don't
back
believe
in him?
I don't believe in him.
He played
for
the
NBA.
He
played
money.
For the
you
NBA. You better act like you know.
Just because you have money doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but he played for the Master P. Used to play in the NBA.
Did he?
Yes. But that means he got it all up here.
Was he in the D League?
No. Look it up. I swear. I forgot who told me that.
I know Romeo for sure. I know Romeo played for USC, and he was really nice in there. But I don't know. To me, I just think the NBA just needs to either lessen the games or stretch the season out. Because last week, LeBron James, he just passed Jordan for the all-time minutes played in the NBA history.
He can't break any more records. I'm done with
Or make everybody a star player.
Yeah, well.
Give everybody a gold star.
So that's what you say, put Joe Schmo in and create a new star.
Exactly. One question. Is Jordan better than LeBron or LeBron?
That's not a fair question.
That's not a fair question, to be honest, because LeBron James is
LeBron
a complete different animal.
Six rings.
I mean,
that's true. The rings talk, but LeBron James is a complete different monster in regards to
the game,
and especially the eras that they play in. Because
yes.
Jordan, in his era, was the man. But I feel like in LeBron's era, you had Kobe Bryant. You have now Steph Curry in the mix. You have all these. And the game has changed. It's not as slow as it was before. It's very high tempo, more competitive. There's more international players as well that are competing with these NBA USA players. So
I agree. I don't like when people ask that question. Is Michael Jordan better than LeBron James? Michael Jordan was the best of his time. Let him have that. Okay,
right.
this
you
is
can't
a different
keep on comparing
time.
Him to different eras.
Right.
Yeah,
he loses his luster over
exactly. It. That's like if we say, "Oh, is Mike Tyson better than Mayweather?" Mike Tyson was Tyson in his time.
I mean,
okay.
Mayweather hasn't. Yeah,
Mayweather
no. There's different weight classes
saying,
too.
You know what I'm saying with legends. Don't take people's legendariness. That's
like
not even
Patti LaBelle and Beyonce.
Exactly. You can't do that. That's not
can't
fair.
Throw those two in the ring together.
You can't say you can't.
Patti would crush Beyonce, but I mean,
yeah, just let
we'll
Michael Jordan
that.
Be
that's
Michael. That's like saying is Biggie better than
Tupac?
I don't know. Drake.
We always have these conversations.
Yeah,
we do have these
conversations. I think it's important to have these conversations. You know, I think it's cool to compare the times, but it's also very important when, you know, making these comparisons to, you know, realize, like, to notice that there is a total difference in the way that we do things then and how they are going now. But I think, you know, it's a cool to compare, you know, compare and contrast to see where we're going, you know, where we went.
But I feel like when people are comparing, they're not doing it by, like, a healthy comparison. They're doing, like, who's better?
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, hard to say.
It's hard to say. It's, you know, unless they decide to, you know, step on the court together.
I mean, that's not fair either. Because you know damn well Michael Jordan's too old to beat LeBron.
You know how he be on the court calling
on his
back, rolling,
he'll
and
be
doing
calling
the
foul all the time.
Jordan can still get buckets.
Out
he practices
breath.
With his team.
I'm sure
he's
he can get
big
3-pointers.
As hell.
He can get the 3-pointers, I'm sure, all day.
He backs him
I'm
down.
I'm sure Ray Allen could still hit a 3-pointer.
I don't know about Ray Allen. He needs
damn,
to.
That's messed up.
Yeah. I'm salty on that one.
Oh, come on.
And then let me just say this for non-sports related. Sunday night is WrestleMania for all my wrestling fanatics. I can't wait for that. So,
yes, we'll plug that in at the end for you guys. So, you have your little moment.
Okay.
Have your little.
I
didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, she's
Jeez
not. We'll talk about that one later.
Anyway.
So I was like, I don't want to, you know.
God, just
swerve WrestleMania. But isn't it fake?
It is fake, but
I
so are movies.
Say how you feel?
But
movies.
So is Love and Hip Hop though.
Love and Hip Hop, and y'all still watch it?
Nah, we
Ratchet
don't watch
Mondays.
That. No.
I be watching
no,
though.
No.
The thing about wrestling, it is fake. The storyline is fake. The wrestling is actually real. You know,
they're actually bleeding out there.
Moves
okay,
and throwing each other around. Yes, it is fake on the story side,
the
but they are
okay.
slamming each other.
Okay,
yeah.
Word. So the storyline needs to be, I think they need a new director because it's always super cheesy. You feel me? So by the time they get to the ring, it's like...
Guys love that.
Come on.
Let me tell you, in recent years, it's actually gotten better. And there was a time frame where wrestling, at least the storylines weren't that great because of the stars. They weren't high caliber. So, but now we have a good balance because... In one of our previous episodes, we said that they split the roster into two. So now they have different writers for both shows. So.
Oh, word. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, hey.
Maybe.
We'll plug that in later. We'll talk about that wrestling.
Yes, the little plug-in.
The little plug-in. But so, for now, Regina, what you got for what's popping in culture?
You know, I have to talk more life because that's what's popping in culture. Nice. I can't get on Twitter for 5 minutes without hearing about Blem this, Smoke Free that.
Free smoke.
Yeah, Drake, you did that. About his feelings, and then he did the
he drunk test J Lo.
He did a cover of whatever that song is.
The way he's mm-hmm, when he one, sampled that, that whew,
I'm sorry, that's what's ahead. Called a sample, not a cover. But anyway, yeah, More Life. It's an album.
Okay, what's your rating on it?
Wow.
Well, it's actually a playlist.
Crazy. Oh, it's a playlist.
It's a playlist. Whoa. No, okay.
What?
It's literally a playlist.
Drake put it out. He was like, this isn't an album. This is a playlist.
Well, it's about the feeling. See, what did I tell you?
Whoa, just calm down.
That makes sense now.
I know. Yo, she went to pop a blood vein over there.
Okay. I'm talking more life and pop culture because that's what everybody's talking about. But I mean, it's 22 songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. It's not captivating me personally. I've heard it 3 times all the way through. I mean, I don't hate it, though. I like a couple of songs on it. I'm not moved.
I guess I can feel that way, too. There's some songs I can definitely...
But you liked Views.
But I like... Yo, Views is
wow.
Really...
That's
Views I can listen to straight through.
Here's
listen, Views...
Because sometimes we hear music for a little bit, and we're like, I don't like this. And then after a while, we're like, oh, shit, this is dope.
He turned the 6 upside down. It's a 9 now. Let me just... That was an amazing line.
My thing with Drake is I think he always does, like, the bare minimum. Like, he knows what's popping at the time in culture. Like, this time around, he's trying to, like, team up with all the... I don't know
the
where
rhythms.
This sound is. What's this sound that's
popping
right now?
Rhythms?
Yeah, you know, he's, like, going... like the British grungy.
Oh, yeah, he bought a lot.
So that's hot right now. So Drake, he wants to go. What he does is he finds, like, for example, Views.
Culture
he's a culture vulture. He says he's not a culture vulture in the sense that he's not stealing the culture. He's putting on. He's like enhancing it. But here's the thing, like Views. That whole album was, we were promoting it as the best Drake album ever. Like, this is going to be his career.
This is going
to be the shit. And then, like, he dropped it, and, you know, it was good, but
it was
didn't
vibe.
Really, like,
I think,
challenge hip-hop culture
think it was
at the moment.
I think it wasn't hip-hop. Like, I think we mentioned this in our episode. It was very commercial, but it was very anticipated.
Yeah,
that Views album.
It was very anticipated.
And,
I'll give you that much.
And with this one, I can say I wasn't anticipating.
This was like a bonus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where you're coming from, where it wasn't as big as we thought it was, at least for hip hop, because Drake is now very commercial.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Just bottom line, I think he's an amazing artist.
Absolutely.
But if Drake is going to be at the forefront of hip hop. In this day and age, I want you to drop some dope shit that's really going to push, you know, the culture forward. Because honestly, every time he drops a project, it hypes, like, it definitely has an impact
because
on the culture.
Drake.
And because he's Drake, but it's nothing new.
It's nothing
that's really like, oh man, like, did he just do that? You know, it's
all
like,
the tracks he didn't want to put on. He threw it onto a playlist and then was like, I'm gonna just see what happens here. That's how I feel.
But then
let me ask you.
Am I wrong or like?
Let me ask you this then.
Wait, can I? Say
oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is how I feel about Drake, and I think you're right. I think you're onto something. He does the bare minimum because it works.
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't have he has pressure, but he doesn't at the same time. In the sense where whatever he puts out, everybody's gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be on the radio, regardless of what we say. Like Nicki Minaj. Well, regardless of how good she came back at Remy, that song, No Frauds, is still going to be played in the club. People are still going to throw their dollar bills, right?
Yeah.
So Drake, this album was more of a feeling. But I also think it's the way you listen to the album. I put it on while I was cleaning, and I heard track from 1 to 22 all in one at once, and I loved it.
So
and
you,
I don't
so
think
you
it
were
was,
cleaning for a couple hours then?
I was.
It was only
an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe.
Okay.
But, I think this album is more about the way it makes you feel. I don't think it's about the lyrics. I don't think it's about pushing a new sound.
Yeah, that's
album.
Yeah, all like, Drake's album. Yeah.
And it makes but
feeling.
It's so good though. It makes you feel
Thank
so
Me Later
good.
Was his best album.
Lyrically.
Don't at me, fight me if you want to because I don't care. Karaoke
I like take care.
Was amazing.
Take Care for Me.
Take
was
Care.
The one.
No, Take Care was also track after track
album. Like, I mean, that's the last time I was like, yeah.
I can live without if you're reading this is too dope. Late, but I mean, it's there.
I mean, the other day I did say I'm kind of mad that people don't look into grime as much as they should because that grime scene is booming. They waited to Drake. Drake said something or did something with grime artists.
But I think that's okay.
Grime even wanted that. Sometimes listen, certain genres want to be, they don't want to be commercialized be because they don't want to become too mainstream and
yeah.
that's true.
Molded into something that they're not.
The grime scene is, every artist is different in that scene. So, you know what I mean? There's no way you can multiply and make it, you know, commercial.
Drake's on underrepresented market and he capitalized on it.
That's exactly. That's what he does every single time, though.
He's like, oh.
He's good at it.
You know, what was the trend? The dance hall vibes. That was all views.
But dance hall had been vibes.
I mean, but does it not?
But it worked, though.
Freak something?
Okay.
Does it? I'm saying, are the songs not doing their job? Is my question.
He's taking
absolutely.
The Caribbean
looks
vibe.
Like they're
and he's
doing
like,
the job for you.
Like Rihanna hasn't been already doing that, and then Drake comes in and she's like, "Oh, so you think that you're just gonna come up in here? Like I haven't been out here doing this." And it's just like, "All right, Drake, we know you're Drake, but what about our feelings? That's what you're supposed to be singing about."
And he does that.
We're getting bodied by a singing. Let's remember that here. Yes, he's not even truly a rapper.
He's not. He's an. He's just an artist. I
but
would
he's
think.
Rapping.
He's a good entertainer.
So much on that album.
I want to go back to what Bennett said early. You said. When you want Drake to put out something out there, you want him to be the four, you know, pretty much
you
ahead
want him
of the crowd.
Like Kanye West.
I want to say that now. Let's not even include him. Who in your mind, seeing that you work in radio, who in your mind do you want to be the fourth runner right now? Who's the main dude that you see right now that can do that?
Who? I mean, I hate to say it, but like. We're talking about the dude. It's Drake is definitely, he is at the forefront with every project he puts out, but. Me being, you know, a fan of hip hop and the culture and, you know, really knowing where, you know, these people and their experiences and where they come from. I mean, I hate to say it. I always hate to tell myself and remind myself, but hip hop is not the same as it was before, you know. It's a fact, you know. A lot of people aren't spitting anymore. People aren't talking about anything.
Tragic.
And, you know, Drake, he's one of those people from time to time. And, unfortunately, he is at the forefront right now. But there are, like, other artists who are really spitting. And, like, for example, I love Big Sean. Because Big Sean, definitely, he spits. And he's really lyrical. And that's what I like in hip-hop. That's what I like to see in a rapper. You feel me? Like, I do love the production. I love, you know the sounds that you're intertwining in your projects and stuff. But what are you spitting? Are you really... A rapper, and he's not, but he is at the forefront of hip hop and rap right now.
Who's second?
Ooh.
Quick answer.
A quick answer.
I'm trying to think too. Who would I say?
In hip hop?
In hip hop?
Yeah. I would say
I would tell you
Kendrick. Would have been Kendrick, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, what about K Dot, man?
Yeah,
Kendrick, because he just dropped something new right now.
He did.
And that was humble.
But I think that the last release, what do you call it? The one before that, where he was dissing.
The
Heart 4 or something.
Yeah.
That was dope. That was like hip hop. He was really spinning. I loved the sound of it. You know, he switched his flow so many times. And that's what I like, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I like to hear when I'm listening to rap and hip hop. You know?
They want catchy.
They want catchy. They want Hotline Bling and, like, I don't know. Like,
come on, fake love.
Why do we always leave Big Sean at that conversation?
I don't know why we always leave Big Sean out of the conversation. Big Sean is so lyrical. He spits. He switches his flows. He's so good. He's definitely top five right now for sure.
Underrated kind of.
Definitely. Super underrated.
I think he's underrated. And you could tell he's so frustrated with this album. He's like, yo, you niggas don't hear me? Literally, I think he says that one of those.
I really need a plug in my boy Spaka.
Spaka!
Like Spaka. Listening to other projects and everything, not only because he's from PVD, but the fact that he dropped a EP that was crazy. That was crazy. Bar for bar, it was crazy.
The production is crazy.
The production.
Last Child and Spaka remind me of Justin and
crazy stuff
Timbaland.
The the collaboration is
there.
No, it's like Sparka and Last Child.
You're right.
Facts.
So you definitely won't see Sparka and Whose Mans Is This? But Ruben, who you got for that?
Yo, Whose Mans Is This? It's not directed to anybody. It's just these movie makers that are not giving the roles to the people that deserve it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just seen which I was excited about, a little teaser video from for Death Note.
Okay.
Which is a Japanese anime.
Okay.
They got a white guy playing the guy. Like,
come
I mean?
On, he's the third Asian.
No, they actually had an Asian guy
<I'm kidding>.
audition for the role, and they didn't give it to the Asian guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you gotta give it to the talent.
Not
over
always.
The typecast.
Not always. Like, you know
I think,
what I mean?
Yeah.
These things have to be natural. If, you know what I mean? For example,
what if the Asian guy was a horrible actor?
The Ghost in the Shell, that was an Asian character too. They gave it to Scarlett Johansson. They could've.
She's hot though.
She's hot. But you know what I mean? We talk about gentrification mm-hmm. in films is a big thing.
I mean,
so I think, you know what I mean? It's like,
can I low key play devil's advocate?
All right.
So what about when they casted Annie and it was a little black girl, knowing damn well Annie's a little white girl.
And even in the Hunger Games too, wasn't one of the characters that little girl? She was black in a.
She was still black in the movie.
But in the book, isn't she white though? And she's like, they describe her features as being blue eyed.
True, you're right.
In the book,
right.
She's white.
There's a name for that technique. That Hollywood does. I forgot what it's called, but it's supposed to bring in sales. That's what they do. Hollywood doesn't care. It's not about race with Hollywood. It's about money. They will put a black man in a movie if everyone's going to come watch it.
It's what's marketable.
But like,
exactly.
For the actual people that are interested in follow that comic mm-hmm. book or whatever, you know what I mean? They're disappointed because they're like, hold up, this ain't right. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You know, so I feel like Hollywood should start finding good Asian actors, good Spanish rappers, actors.
Rappers too,
because I don't know what that. No,
we'll get into the Spanish rappers too.
but yeah, like, you know what I mean? Get the proper actor to act the role that needs to be acted. You know
I
what I mean?
There's
so many people on this planet. I bet you can find a good Asian actor, a good Spanish actor. Or a good black
actor. And you probably won't have to pay them as much either because they're not like these Hollywood.
They're not big names.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like a misrepresentation of people and their stories and where they come from. It's annoying because, like, I don't know, like, I go, you know, you go to the movies to see something and you're excited because you actually lived through it or you have a connection with that. Right. And for me, if, you know, it's me growing up in, I don't know, not Seattle, but if it's like me growing up somewhere or like it's my story, I wouldn't want to see a little white boy up there playing me, you feel me? So, and I think that goes as far back as, you know, so many movies and so many experiences. They love to throw a white person in there. Like, I forgot what it was. It had to be like, I don't know. Most recently it was an Egyptian movie
I know what you mean.
Something
they do it all the time
about a pharaohs, yeah. And it was all white.
Cleopatra
people.
is black, and they always use a white woman to portray that character.
Yeah,
that's very true.
That's an example.
You know, so
right there.
It goes far back.
No, she wasn't.
You know,
damn,
that's a real culture vulture. You know,
yes, it
those
is.
Those are the real
I
culture
agree.
Vultures.
And then also, there's times when films also do the. I lost my train of thought.
Let's give the part to a black guy because, you know, we try to.
Oh, Get Out? Are you talking about
no,
that?
No, I'm saying, like, you know, like, instead of giving... The role's clearly a white person, but they give it to a black guy just to, you know, get the black
to appeal
viewers.
To that demographic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what Hollywood does. And if you don't mind me chiming in into Hollywood, giving them Whose Mans Is This? Also, can we please be more creative with our films and stop remaking all our classics? I seen a trailer for It. It was scary enough, and it's even scarier now that it's old. I feel like the more vintage a movie is, the scarier it is because it's
so
like
true.
Grungy and like low budget.
It's vintage.
It's vintage, exactly. And vintage is so priceless. How are you gonna do It again? Did you see the new clown? It doesn't even look like a clown. It's like he looks almost computerized. If you compare him to the original It, you can't top it. The original It is so scary.
Hollywood's so scary. Doing so much. They're doing Mulan over, trying to catch a white woman. They ain't trying to put no songs. I was like, so then it's not Mulan if they don't got no songs.
I mean,
what are we gonna be watching? What are we gonna be watching? What are we watching? Some white people?
Yeah, that's probably what they're gonna do. Yeah, that's what they're gonna do.
But you might like this one. They're trying to cast Beyonce to play Nala.
Don't like that.
Listen, I'm not a fan of Beyonce acting. Period.
I'm gonna just hear her on there and be like,
"Oh no, no, it's a voiceover. It's not an
even
actor.
That. I don't want
it's
any."
It's the same.
Hi, it's my name same. Is Beyonce. I mean Nala. Like, no, I don't want to hear that.
Wait,
I love Beyonce.
Is Nala
the princess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't really work. I mean, if she was the princess's mom, that would kind of work more.
That would definitely work.
Because when I heard it, I was like, "Word, Beyonce as like." The mom, like that works
people are just
out
gonna
very
recognize
well.
Her voice, and that's just not gonna work.
Yeah,
but you know what? People are gonna go watch it because it's Beyonce. And
that's market
you
money.
Know, that's the marketing aspect of you know.
It's very
movies.
Sad, actually.
I just hope they don't throw away The Lion King doing a remake. And
that's what
you
I'm
know.
Saying.
I feel like they're always
the
doing an update or a remake, and then they did Lion King 1.5, and I really just don't get
the
it.
The Lion King 1.5 was actually pretty good.
I think you would say that.
I'm not gonna lie. A full hour of Timon and Pumbaa. Come on, they're funny.
I mean, we watched the series. They had
Hakuna
a cartoon
Matata.
Series.
Come on,
get your man.
Someone over there.
You know,
get your man.
Getting whose man is this?
Wow, okay.
Hey, that's
we've been
it.
Waiting for this.
Second thing she's.
Oh gosh!
Ah man, so Bennett, what's up, man?
So let's get into
to see you, man.
I know when are you guys gonna come through?
I'm going to Seattle if it's raining like this. Look at the texture of my hair. Look at it. I'm not going out there.
You know, I'm trying to
keep it in that bun and keep it moving.
Edge is gonna be all gone, keeping it in this bun. See,
yo,
I can't be going out.
I know the car culture is big.
The what
is the culture? Car culture, big
car thing? Like car,
like
yeah,
vehicles.
Like
they can't cars. Drive out there. That's all I know about the cars.
Is
I can't
car
stand.
Fanatic.
No, I'm not. Like I don't know much about cars, but I do know that I hate driving in Seattle because people there cannot drive. Mm. They're just like super. The culture there, they're super passive. You're passive aggressive about everything, and me
is
coming.
Is weed legal? I'm sorry.
Weed is legal
that's
in Washington, 100% legal.
Yeah,
that's great.
I think on that hand, we
you know, you guys should come through and spark up in Washington. You feel me? But you know, the culture there is very passive, and coming from the East Coast, where we're very aggressive and in your face about things, you see it. In every way of life in Seattle. So when it comes to the roads and them driving in their cars,
do they use their blinkers over there also?
They use their blinkers. They use their blinkers, but they don't follow them. So they'll put their blinker on and then
to the
like,
left and take
are
a right?
you gonna go to? And then like they'll put the blinker on to the left and then they'll look to their you know the rear left and then be like, are you gonna move or you're not gonna move? Am I gonna wait here?
Put the blinker on, drive for
and
a mile.
High all
I'm
the time.
Gonna actually. They might be high. That's probably why.
I mean,
you know,
that would be
I've
me.
High.
Tesla is out there. Tesla,
driving.
You know, Tesla, their headquarters are in Washington. So where? There is a lot of Tesla drivers.
Do you get a discount if you live in Washington?
The homegrown
I don't
discount.
Know. Maybe homegrown.
You should look into
I would
it.
Hope
so.
So. I mean, those cars
like
are so even with the discount, I don't think I could afford it at all.
Two chains,
I mean,
baby, get out of here.
I should look into it, though, right?
You should.
I'll let you know, and then you could come through. And buy a Tesla for me and you.
What? What
we'll
spark up in
a Tesla?
It's not a DUI.
Can we not say that out loud? That's DUI.
Yeah, you can't. Well, no, not spark up. Let's not spark up in the car.
I mean, the car
like spark up
itself.
A conversation.
The car drives
itself.
So,
yes,
so it's
technically,
autopilot.
Technically, you know,
true. All right.
Okay.
All right. So today we're going to be talking life after college.
Ooh.
Yes.
And it's the perfect topic because obviously you're living life out of college right
now. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But to start, we want to talk about your life at URI. Tell us a little bit about what your URI experience was like. URI people is the University of Rhode Island, for those of you who don't know
URI.
Or are not from Rhode Island.
My experience at URI, like I said, I started the radio station there. I was super involved in everything. Like when I look back, I'm like, damn, how the hell did I do all of this stuff?
Where
so I had the radio station on Monday nights for like 6 hours from like 9 to 3 a.m. for the whole 4 years while I was 9 there.
9 p.m. to 3 a.m.?
To 3 a.m.
That's a shift.
That's a shift. So I was doing that, and then I had my television. I did, like, URI TV for, like, 3 years there every Tuesday and Thursday. Then I was a tour guide, and then I was in Bond. I was on the e-board for Bond, and, you know, I did a little bit of everything. I partied hard. I loved going to class. So I was very, very busy. I made sure that I, you know, took advantage of all of, you know, the opportunities and all of the resources that were around me. So very busy. I had a lot of fun.
He's already having flashbacks. Like,
yeah, I'm over like, oh my gosh,
that any laugh.
Was there any time for actual work?
I know, man. How did you?
I don't know how I did it. I honestly don't know how I did it, but yeah, I passed my classes, and you know, I really, really did enjoy, you know, going. I really do enjoy, you know, that classroom, you know, the education structure in the classroom. You know, it's annoying, but, you know, just challenging yourself to, you know, meet the stupid deadlines that they put out for nothing.
The syllabus is,
you know,
crazy.
The crazy syllabus.
It's like, well,
I enjoyed that. But, yeah, I got everything done. It was a miracle. So I think that it's just important to, you know, know that there's so time management and use your resources, you know. From me, you know, doing radio, crazy thing is, like, from me doing radio at URI, that allowed me to, you know, get a job in radio as soon as I graduated from URI. So, like, right after I graduated, I was offered a job at Hot 106. So that would have never happened if I didn't take advantage of the radio station, or, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, I did a lot of internships. So I interned at Eyewitness News. I interned and worked at PBS. You know, it's just, like, important to, you know, there's so much going on, especially in college. There's so many people, you know, so networking is important. So much, you know, connections, networks. And I always say the resources, because for me, you know, I had, you know, my own radio station, like a studio to go to every Monday for 4 years, you know. I had, you know, access to a whole television studio that I could use all the time and, you know, build, you know, get experience and, like, build my resume. So it's important when you're in college to, like, really, you know, branch out and look for those resources. And, you know, as you're learning who you are and what you want to do, you know, there's something for everyone. And if you look for it, you'll definitely find it. So that, I would say that would be my college experience, you know, just networking my ass off. You know, I was at every party, every function, every, you know,
every event.
Every single event, you know, I had my flyers on me at all times. You know, I took advantage of any moment that I could, like, just meet somebody and let them know what I do. And, you know, just making sure that you have access to those resources. And if you don't, look for them and go grab them because they're there, you know.
Mm. What was your favorite memory of, you know, the come up?
The favorite memory? I'm still in the come up. Still coming up.
No, but I'm saying,
but thus
point.
Far, to this point, I would say my favorite memory is, you know, before we started doing those promos, we were on air for 2 years. And, you know, that moment where I was like, you know, I had an amazing group of people around me. We had two videographers, we had two interns, and we had Farron and Jalen. They were like my co-hosts. And that moment when we were like, you know what, we're going to be a team and we're going to start doing, you know, these creative ventures and basically take over at the moment. Like, we're really about to, you know, do some dope stuff that, you know, people haven't done before. I think that was, like, one of the best moments when, you know, we planned that first video, which was All of the Lights. If you didn't see, you should check it out. When we planned that first video and we were like, you know what, this is what we're going to do and this is what Ben & O's Radio is going to be about. We're going to be that platform for, you know, the New England artists, and we are going to, you know, this is what we do. We are that radio station. We are, you know, if you're doing something, you got to come and see us. You know, just seeing how all of those thoughts and what we were saying, and just those ideas, seeing those come to life was the best, you know, it was the best thing ever, you know, just seeing anything that you produce and grow, you know, over time. I would just say that first video, sparked everything off. I keep on saying sparked.
Sparked.
Because I'm in this room. But no,
we
I would
paid
just say
him,
the
guys.
First week, yeah. $2 each one. Spark, spark, spark. Spark, spark.
He's making money.
Oh my getting gosh. Those dollars. But no, that one moment where we said, this is what we're doing. We're representing, you know, the culture around us. And this is how we're going to do it in that creative realm. And just seeing it, like, snowball and, you know, grow to what it is today. It's definitely the best moment, you know.
And then probably just being a team. That's very,
oh my
like,
gosh,
you know, just having a team that supports you and has the same vision that you have.
It was so dope because, like, it started off with just me, myself, and then, you know, my friends and people around me were like, word, that's dope. Like, you know, Rob, he was like, I have a camera and I like doing camera work, so let me come to the studio and, like, shoot. And I was like, all right, word, let's do that. Or, like, Patty and Julian, they're still at URI now. Julian actually he took over my radio station. You know, just them saying like, oh, I want to get into radio. And, you know, I see that you guys are doing cool stuff. Like, could we join you? You know, everything was so natural. And, you know, I think that's why we were such a, you know, well-developed team, because it was all natural. It wasn't like, this is what we do. It was like, oh, I like it. Like, this is where I could add, right. Or I'm in the studio every mm-hmm. time. We're on, like, every time you're on air, I'm in the studio, so I might as well join the team. So, supernatural, like, dopest team ever. Like, that's like my all-star, like,
all-star
the seven,
team, right?
The
so
seven of us together.
When you're glowing and everything is so positive, you know, people that attracts
always
people.
Glowing. Yeah. No, I'm just fine.
It's the vision. Like,
it's yes,
when people agree with your vision, mm-hmm. it's so natural.
Yeah,
when people believe in it too, because you exactly. know, it's not not everyone thing. Always has the same vision, mm-hmm. but they're gonna support you and they're gonna put they're gonna contribute to that mm-hmm. and help it come
to make
to
it
life.
Better. Yes,
right. Yeah. So shout out to my team. You know, unfortunately, I couldn't take them with me to Seattle, and I wish I could have. But you know, those last 3 or 4 years that we did work together was amazing. We did some dope stuff.
Was it like a reunion at the award show?
It was kind of a few of us, only 3 of us were there. So the 3 of us that planned it were there. The others had like prior engagements. But you know, I'm looking forward to my little reunion with them. You know, it's going to be dope, you know. Nice.
So tell us, how do you, with everything that you do, we mentioned time management, how do you cope with, or what do you do to de-stress? What do you do like when everything's like all in your head and you're like, ah?
I spark up.
No. I mean, you're in Seattle now.
He listens to Spark Up on SoundCloud is what he meant.
Exactly. Exactly. No, when I get overwhelmed with everything that's going on, I just like kind of take a step back and, you know, I might take a toke and take a step back and just like kind of just let go of everything. Take a step back and find out why I'm doing, you know, what I'm doing. For me, it's radio and, you know, culture and, you know, music. So I'll take that step back and I'll start watching music videos for hours, or I'll start watching radio interviews for hours and, you know, award shows. And that's where I see myself in 10 years. So, you know, I'll just take that step back and, you know, it might be a day or two, it might be a few hours, but, you know, just finding that inspiration, you know, reminding myself, like, this is where you want to be, this is a, you know, type of work you want to do and get involved with, you know, that kind of mellows me out and brings me back down, you know. By that time, I'm like, all right, it's time to get back to work, we got to get, you know, we got to do this, you know?
Me and Ben are the same person because I like to do that in my spare time.
Yeah, you know? Oh, you watch music videos?
I watch, similar to that, I watch a lot of bands in New York, a lot of Spanish bands, and then even I watch a lot of interviews too, like you said, like the mm-hmm. Breakfast Club ones.
Yeah.
Those are always fun to watch because they can go for hours.
Yeah, and you watch them and you're like, you know what, I want to be in that
those
seat
interviews.
Right there.
Yeah,
but they're so entertaining. They're so good.
They are. But let me ask you this question, because we see a big transition in regards to radio and podcasts, because mm-hmm. we see a lot. Like, to me, it seems now that the decline of radio is happening, and it's gonna hit hard, and we see a lot of people going into podcasts. So what's your opinion on that?
I mean, you would think that, and you know, there was a point where I was making that transition from college radio to you know, turning it into a career, and I was like, is it even worth it, because now everything's all about streaming and podcasting. So there was a moment where I was like, you know what, radio's dead. But the thing is, the advertisements in radio are really, you know, pushing and putting, you know, making radio exist, there's millions of dollars in radio to this day. Like, radio stations in Rhode Island, they're multi-million dollar stations. Yeah. You feel me? Like, radio's going nowhere. It's damn near close or even better than television advertisements. So, you know, it content-wise, it's a lot different. You know, the game has changed, but radio's going nowhere because people still listen to the radio and there's still advertisers that are paying for, you know, paying these, you know, radio stations to play their commercials. So in that aspect, radio is going nowhere for sure. Like, the commercials, it's, you even see it in television. There's a decline in, you know, the success of commercials and advertisements on television versus on the radio. But I think content wise, things are definitely changing where podcasts, we're in a realm where you got to be able to pull people in seconds, you know, and you're really not able to do that with the radio as if you are able to do it mm-hmm. with a podcast, you know. Right now, everything's so free and open that you could, you know, it's all about how you're putting that content out. So, I mean, with podcasts, you have like an open range to do whatever you want. But I would say radio's definitely not going anywhere. If you look at the numbers, you'll be like, word, I'm trying to get in there and make those type of numbers. It's not going anywhere because of the advertisements. But content-wise, it's a totally different game.
So what do you think, where should the change happen then to get radio back even higher?
I think that it would be dope. Lot of radio stations, you know, I think the most successful radio stations are the ones that are taking the chances and are actually allowing, you know, DJs and personalities to use their time the way that they want to. Because, you know, ideally what a radio personality or a DJ does is they fill in 30 seconds mm-hmm. or, you know, not even 30 seconds, 7 to 30 seconds a few times every hour. But from my experience, you know, moving to Seattle, a lot of the radio stations that I work at now, they're free form. Like, we got to show that they are able to do whatever they want to do for 3-4 hours. And it's super successful. And that's where it comes in. Like, content wise, you know, the program directors are allowing them to, you know, hey, you could do whatever you want for these 4 hours. So that connection that they make with their audience is, you know, a lot better. Uh-huh. Versus, you know, me just being like, hello, it's Ben and O's, and this is the new song. This is the new Drake. And that's it. It's like, yo, I don't even care about this guy and what he's saying. But if I have like a full hour on air and, you know, I'm doing something where I'm talking about, you know, interesting topics and, you know, I'm just swagging it out myself or, you know, things that are relevant at that moment, it makes people want to listen more. So, you know, there's a lot and there's a lot to learn when you go into radio. It's totally different from, you know, what you think it is when you're on air at college or you do a podcast. Really? So there's a lot of ins and outs to the radio industry. But I think that would be the start, is like letting these personalities actually talk. I mean, you're choosing personalities. So let that personality show out, you know. So I think that's a change right there.
All right, cool.
So you say you worked at Hot 106?
I worked at Cumulus, which was Hot 106, 92 Pro FM, Light Rock 105, and a couple of other stations.
Okay. Yeah. So how come you didn't stay at home? Why the move?
The reason why I left was because the way that the industry works is there is markets and you have to climb up the markets, where Rhode Island is market like 53 or something like that.
All right.
My goal is I want to do radio in Los Angeles, which is number 2. So
what's number 1? New York
is number 1. So in order to get there, you have to climb the ladder. You have to climb the ladder, you know? So you have to go from 53. From 53, you'll go to 12. Mm-hmm. From 12, you go to 7. From 7, you go to Seattle's 12.
All right.
So the reason why I moved was because I told myself when I graduated that I'm going to give myself a year to get on air at Hot 106. That's what I told myself. I'll give myself 1 year, and if I'm not on air, then it's not worth it for me to stick around Rhode Island, because I know, you know, I know that I need to start at a better market.
Okay.
So a year came, and, you know, a lot of stuff happened in my life, and Seattle presented itself very randomly. And in that moment, I was like, all right, this is a sign from God. And I bought my one way ticket and went to Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think there was a, there was another personality from High 106 that also went to Seattle.
My girl, Deanna Cruz. Yeah. Shout out to Deanna.
She is she back? But she's here, though?
I work with Deanna in Seattle, which is super dope because, like, she's super East Coast and, like, you know, she just knows what's good over here. So it's like a little piece of home every time I go to the station.
I'm about to go visit. I'm about to go to that radio station, too. We're like, hey.
What are you gonna say? Rob got the voice. I mean, yeah. What are you waiting for?
I know I'm about to buy a one-way ticket too.
Yeah, hop and get that one-way ticket.
Bennett, we're gonna talk after this.
Right. Take your dreams and turn them into goals, Rob. Yeah,
spend the dance hall out there. They don't know about it.
Hey, the South Coast is pretty dope over there in Seattle too. I already
bring the typical. Bring the typical.
Oh, that'd be dope. We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk.
You should definitely bring that.
How far is Seattle from here?
Oh, it's opposite.
Go.
Okay, I don't know how far it is, but on a plane it's 5 hours.
Okay, that's not bad.
I literally freaked out because I was there for like a couple of months, and you know, I knew Seattle was in Washington, and I knew that we were an hour away from Canada. And then someone showed me we're right on the coast, the same way that, you know, Rhode Island the same way we're on the coast over here.
Coast to coast.
Washington is like right on the coast, like right there. So I like freaked out. I was like, oh, we're right near the water. Like, whoa, this is far from home.
What do you take with you, or what's in Seattle in your home or in your phone that reminds you of home besides the music?
Besides the music?
Yeah.
What reminds me of home?
Well, what do you miss most?
From here?
Yes.
I don't miss things. There's no items that I actually miss. I gave away all of my stuff when I left. I put all my clothes in two suitcases. Anything else that didn't fit in there, I gave it all away. So, like, all my sneakers.
Literally started fresh.
Completely fresh. But I do miss, like, there's things such as the diversity here and the culture. Like, I was at a little get-together last night, and they were playing, like, what's the word? Like Cape Verdean music, and they were playing reggaeton and reggae, and like they don't know anything about that in Seattle. They don't know.
It's a West Coast thing. I feel like people on the West Coast are not very hip to.
They're
the
not
new,
culture.
The hot
There's
new.
No culture out there. Like if you ask someone, what's your nationality, and they're like, I'm black, and I'm like, well, obviously you are black, but where's your people from? Like, you know, and they'll say Africa. And okay, where in Africa? Africa's one of the biggest continents, you know, so where are they from?
And like
they're not woke. They don't know their heritage and where they come from. And if you don't know that, then how are you going to impact a culture yourself? You feel me? So there's like the culture there is very different. So I definitely miss, you know, coming here and being able to grab, you know, whatever type of food I want, or like to even go somewhere and hear people speaking different languages and, you know, just like loving their culture and like in your face with their, you know, with whatever it is, you know, there's none of that there. And it's like completely whitewashed. And yeah, that's what I miss.
You gotta climb the ladder.
That's it.
Yeah. You're going to get to L.A.
So I'm trying to get to L.A. You feel? It's like a bump in the road. I thought I missed Dunkin' Donuts. So as soon as I got here.
And then you missed Starbucks.
Then I met Starbucks, and I hated on Starbucks for the last 6 months. But then I got here and had a cup of Dunkin' Donuts, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, no, you converted.
I'm converted for sure. I'm converted.
It's all right.
Dude, Dunkin' Donuts is like watered down coffee. And I mean, Seattle, like it's not even just Starbucks in Seattle. Seattle's a huge place, like a huge hub for coffee, you know? Like, they make coffee in, like, 120 different ways out there, you know? Like, it's
probably
legit.
Coffee everywhere, though.
Coffee
I can picture,
everywhere.
Like, coffee shops. Like,
coffee everywhere. Everywhere.
That's why it's so hipster. They got a lot of coffee.
So hipster, too. So hipster. Like,
hipsters love coffee.
Hella hipster. I went to a bar the other night, and they were playing some dope music, like stuff I would hear out here, a nice mix of pop, hip-hop, rap. You know, they even threw some reggaeton in there. I was like, woo, this is where I need to be, you know? So, I mean, those are the things I miss the most. I miss my family and my friends, but no items. I'm not like a materialistic person. Like, okay. I miss my, I don't know. Like, I don't know what people would say.
I miss my teddy bear.
Yeah, like, I miss my teddy bear. Or
pizza
like,
queen.
Pizza queen. Or I don't know.
Like, yeah. Wow, man. Bennett knows.
One last thing before we close out.
Oh, okay.
What did you take from college that you could say thank you for?
Did college help your afterlife development?
College helped me a lot. And I think it's definitely how you take that experience and apply it, for sure. Me, I was a go-getter, and I knew what I wanted to do after college. So I knew that I wanted to work in radio. I knew that I wanted to work in television. And like I said, you know, I really took advantage of the resources around me and all of the people around me, because you're never going to be, you know, so you're not going to be in a community like the one at a university or college after you graduate. After that, everybody's doing their own thing. People have their own lives to take care of. When you're in college, you know, it's so easy to, you know, reach out to a large amount of people at one time and, you know, really let them know who you are and what you're doing, and, you know, make those connections so then you move forward and you have them in the future. If you don't make those connections while in college, you're not going to get them after college. That's 100%. And like I said, you really need to take advantage of the resources around you. If you want to be a lawyer, find out what, you know, programs, what, you know, practices you can make in college, so when you get out, you'll be ready to move forward, because, you know, everybody wants, like, you need to have 5 years of experience straight out of college to get a job. So it's like, that's not going to happen. So you better have those internships and, you know, those extracurriculars, you know, on that resume, because if not, you know, somebody else is going to have them. So college, it's all about in what you make of it. I just say, you know, network, network, network. You know, what is it? Network is your net worth. You feel me? That's 100% true. Like, all of my connections that I made today and, you know, where I'm at, whether it's Hot 106 or Hot 103.7 in Seattle, I made those connections when I was in college. And, you know, the resources, you know, when I tell, you know, when I tell people in my field, like, I had a radio station for 4 years on a Monday night for 6 hours a night, they're really impressed about, you know, the work and the things that I've done. So it's all about, you know, networking and the resources and just applying them in the right places and with the right people after.
Dope. Wow. Bennett, well, you are like the perfect story, man, of like starting from.
I try.
I'm so impressed. Yeah, man. A lot of time into your craft.
Oh, I know.
Thank you.
Shout out to Bennett Knows.
Oh, yes, Bennett. I have one thing to say.
Yeah, what's up?
We didn't announce all of the winners from the 2017 BKR A's, and you'll be able to, you know, check out the rest of our winners on April 10th.
April 10th.
Okay. So we're going to BennettKnows.com.
There you go. So shout out your social medias.
Bennett Knows. Two N's, two T's, like my mama liked it, and Knows, like K-N-O-W-S, not like the one on your face.
The one in your head.
Bennett Knows. Like knowledge. Yes.
Bennett, thank you very much. Give it up one more time for Bennett.
Thank you so much.
Bennett Knows.
Shout out to the Spark Up PVD.
Yes, Rob, so take it away.
One last plug.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we have a special edition of Spark Up PVD. WrestleMania episode. Yeah. My man, me and Rubens are going to take the reins for tomorrow. The ladies, if y'all still want to join.
We're going to sit this one out.
Okay, you're going to sit that one out.
I'll be on tomorrow. The side eating a wrap.
All right. Well, we got special guests, the cool people, local wrestlers. We got them. And then my man from BOA, Sean Blade. We're going to be talking WrestleMania previews, fallouts. So tomorrow, check us out, 12 o'clock via BOA Studios Facebook page.
Dope.
All right. Blade. That's it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch y'all next week. Suéltalo.